to recognize our connectedness in Christ Jesus as a congregation and part of God's mission here on earth. Perhaps one of the most important things you will do in a year is to attend the annual congregational meeting, because it is a way of you to affirm your faith not only in God, but your faith that God is guiding your congregation. And you are part of that. You are part of that process. It is not something that happens without you, but it is something that doesn't happen if you don't participate. So I'm so very glad that you're here, and I hope perhaps there will even be a few more members that come after worship, just because we have a congregational meeting today. Normally I preach on the gospel, and that seems entirely appropriate. But today, given the circumstances, that we're going to have a congregation meeting, and today, because we are the people who we are, perhaps today I will preach on Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It's important perhaps to get a little background on the Corinthians, because the Corinthians in Jesus' day were a people who were involved with commerce. They were business people. They were people who were traders. They were people, because Corinth, where it was located, was a place where a lot of commerce came through, a lot of trading happened. And so merchants from the east traded in Corinth, merchants from the south and the west traded in Corinth, and there were many languages, there were many different kinds of coins, there were many gods that were worshipped. In the book of Acts, you'll hear as Paul recognizes that being in Corinth allows him to see many temples, including a temple to an unknown god. He'll make reference to that in his travels. But Corinth was exactly the kind of place that should remind us about our own nation and our own time, because we are people who we're commerce people. We understand mercantilism. We understand how to be a good buyer or a good seller. And in Corinth, that was so very important. People needed to protect their own interests. And so there was a sense in Corinth that people needed to be business smart. They needed to take care of themselves. And to do so well sometimes meant that they would cut themselves off from others. Success was so important to the Corinthians that they treated each other as individuals. Now, that doesn't sound very unusual, but in Jesus' day, the Hebrew culture, the Hebrew life, the life of a good Jew was a connected life. It was a family life. It was a religious life. But in Corinth, it was a different thing. Even among the young church that was being formed, there was factions that were beginning to form in the early church. You'll hear another scripture how someone says, I'm of Apollos. I was baptized by Apollos. And so that's my mentor. That's my leader. And others would say, I was baptized by Paul. So therefore, I'm part of Paul's group. And again, it's hard to imagine. But there were early divisions in the life of the church, especially in Corinth. And there were leaders in the church who thought their gifts were better than other leaders. For some would say, I speak in tongues, therefore I have a better gift than you. And others said, I can interpret tongues, so that's a better gift than those who speak. And then there were others who said, I can do miracles, and that's a better gift than either of you. And so this idea of competition, of individuality, of kind of separateness, was part of the early church in Corinth. And into this, Jesus speaks his word through Paul. Through Paul. Although Jesus did not say these words, they are words of faith by the Holy Spirit speaking into Paul. So Paul reminds the early church of their connectedness. For he says, just as the body is one and has many members, and all are members of the body, though many, all are one body, so it is with Christ. For in this one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one spirit. And he goes on now to explain how important each part of the body is, and how it is foolish to think that one part of the body is more important or more valuable than another part of the body. He goes on to say, how foolish to think I don't belong to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would your hearing be? If the whole body was hearing, where would the sense of smell be? So God arranged the members of the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were single members, where would the body be? And so there are many members, and that's kind of nice that he uses the word members because it ties in so well to the life of the church. He talks about members being limbs and parts. But as we hear Paul's words, we can think of ourselves as members of a body. And so he talks about how the body is important. And even those people who are weaker are indispensable. Those members of the body we think are less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And if you had gone to seminary, you would understand that that's kind of those parts of your body that you don't show to people. We hide those weaker parts for good reason. Part of it because they are weaker, but part of it because it's a certain matter of politeness that we hide them. We clothe ourselves to hide those parts. But they're all necessary. Anytime you think there's a part of your body you can live without, try living without it. What happens normally is that we find our body is fine until some part of it doesn't feel very good. And then we recognize that part because the entire body suffers because of it. In many ways, we are learning our bodies from the time we are children. As babies learn their bodies, as they find out, oh, toes are good. They fit so easily into my mouth. As we grow older, we do less of that. As a matter of fact, when we become of a particular age, we want to hide our feet. We think our feet are ugly. No, 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 they're not ugly. They just have changed over time. Beautiful are the feet of a messenger who brings the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paraphrase it. But they're all important. And we learn our bodies. And we learn what works in our bodies. And ladies, you probably know that you've talked to a doctor. And the doctor, who will be a he, will tell you, you're fine. And you say, not quite. There's something not quite right here. All the tests came back fine, but there's something not quite right. You understand your bodies, and certainly anyone of a particular age knows when something isn't quite right in their body. Something isn't quite right. You've got a pain or an ache or just a feeling. And so these bodies that we have, we grow to understand them. And certainly over time, we begin to recognize the importance of all of the parts of our body. And that was what Paul was trying to impress upon the Corinthians. His message, his letter to the Corinthians, to me, is almost like he's hammering on top of a pulpit. The body, the body, the body. Your connectedness to one another. You're all important. There's no part of the body that's not important. And we should value one another. And so ultimately, in verse 26, he says, if one member suffers, we all suffer together. And if one member is honored, we all rejoice together with it. You know, if you've ever run a race, you don't give the medal to your feet. Right? You put that around your neck. It's not that your neck did the running, it's just where we put the medal. And likewise, when you have a toothache, is there any part of your body that doesn't feel that toothache? It resides in your tooth. You would think the pain would only stay there. Curiously, your whole body suffers because of a toothache. Paul is absolutely right about this. And Paul is right about the life of the church. It's hard to see pain in the life of a congregation and not realize that it has an effect over all the members. Maybe not to the same degree, but it does. And when one group in the life of the church is successful or is honored, the entire church is honored by it. And so we should celebrate with it. We shouldn't say to one another, well, that's their success. We should, certainly shouldn't. We should certainly rejoice in their success with them. What a wonderful metaphor this is for the life of a congregation. And let me suggest that Paul's words actually go far beyond that. That what Paul is talking about is the life of the church in the world. So that we're not just talking about members within a congregation, we're talking about congregations within a denomination. So we need our fellow Lutherans, because we're part of one body with them. We need all of the Lutheran churches in our area, because they're part of one body in Christ Jesus. Ooh, let's even stretch that a bit further. We need our Methodist friends. We need our Episcopalian friends. We even need the Roman Catholics. I only say it that way because, of course, there was this thing that happened about 500 years ago. Maybe you read about it. Bit of a tiff. But I've met with people, and they talk about the competition the churches have. And I have to always remind them, they're absolutely wrong. We are not in competition with other churches. If we're competing, we're competing for the same prize, to bring people into the life of the church so that they might know Jesus Christ, so their lives may be changed. We're all competing, perhaps, but not against one another. We should not see someone else's success as our failure. We should rejoice with any church that is filled with Christians hearing God's word and receiving health and life and peace for Jesus Christ. We should rejoice with that. So if you hear a church is succeeding, don't say, oh my gosh, they're succeeding, but we just can't seem to get anybody here. So if we could just be like them, if we could steal some of their members. The idea of shepherds stealing sheep from one another is absolutely unchristian. Shepherds do not steal sheep from one another. Congregations do not steal members from one another. That's not what we're about. We're about building up the body of Christ. And moreover, seeing our connectedness not only in our congregations, not only in our denomination, not only within the United States, but also seeing our connectedness to Christians throughout the world. We are not just one in Christ here in Orangeburg or in the United States. We are one in Christ throughout the world. There are people in foreign countries throughout the world that are hearing the word of God and sharing God's sacrament just as we are today. They are just as valuable in God's sight, and we should pray for them, and they should pray for us, and their success is our success, and our failure is their failure, and we are all connected. We are all connected as one another. Everyone has a gift to share. All gifts are valuable. We may not always agree about how the church should be run, but there's enough room in the life of the church to hear a variety of voices saying a variety of things. And we need to hold each other in communion. That's that business of being communion, is being so intimate and close that you're almost physically related. When we talk about communion with God. God with us. But also us with us. Our relationships to one another are not just relationships by blood or by marriage, but through Jesus Christ. You are a brother or a sister to someone here in this church today and throughout the world. And so if one person has a problem and we share it, all of us will have an opportunity to solve that problem. And certainly we'll lift it up in prayer, God will have an opportunity to solve it for us. Please keep this in mind as we go about our ministry, our connectedness through Jesus Christ, and our need to be for each other and with each other and an encouragement to one another. Life is full of twists and turns. There are lots of problems. Most of us, if I gave you the microphone, you could come up here and certainly we could spend an hour or two just describing our difficulties. But there are also successes. There's also reasons to rejoice. And the chief reason we rejoice today is because God loves us. And God showed us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we participate in his life through the sacrament, through his body and through his blood and wine and bread. And certainly later on today, we'll celebrate our oneness in Christ in this congregation as we have our annual congregational meeting. We may not always agree about everything, but we hold each other in esteem and we value one another. And indeed, in Christ Jesus, we love one another even if we disagree. This is a message for the church today. This is our message. Please don't let it stay in the church. Please take it home with you. Share it with other people. And when people want to divide the church into tinier and tinier and tinier little pieces, you remember what Paul said, that we are one body in Christ. And we don't divide up the body. We don't take it to a butcher shop and take it into little pieces and think that that's somehow a better way to do things. Our connectedness is what makes us strong, because we're connected not only to a loving God, but to one another. As you probably can recognize, this is a very important message to me personally. But I think I'm going to stop here. I think you get it. I think Paul wanted the Corinthians to get it. I think you get it too. Let us celebrate our connectedness in one body through Jesus Christ. And let us build on that.